Should be excited. I get a couple yeps over here. Who's giving me a yeps? There we go. All right. Josh, where's the amen corner out here? No, I'm excited. I'm excited because, man, this is, I don't know if you guys realize it, this is what it's all about. It really is. It's the fact that we are part of the body, that we are together, and we are here to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's what it is all about. Sometimes I think we get it confused. Sometimes I think we think it's about our good life now, or we think it's about, you know, it's how do we build our congregation, or we think it's about what are the things that I got to lay out and get done this week. None of that stuff matters. What matters is where are you at right now with Jesus Christ? Where are you at right now with your relationship with God, your Creator? That's what counts. This here is a test run. We have all eternity after this. And where will you spend it? We have the hope, and we have the joy, we have the peace, we have the understanding of what Christ has done for us. And we rejoice in that, and that's what this day is about. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to dig into this thing. Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for that you have loved us, that, Father, that you sent your Son while we were still your enemies. That, Father, that you have reconciled us to you through the death and the resurrection of Christ. And Father God, right now as we come before you, I just ask that your Spirit would speak, that Lord, that through your Spirit that you would touch our hearts and where we are at with you, that those that are far from you, Father, that don't know you, or those that are seeking you, that Father, that they would see you alive and well, that they would see the power of your Spirit, that they would feel the resurrection in their own life as they are born again, as they surrender their life to you. Father God, we just come before you right now. We give you this day, we give you this week, we give you this year, we give you our lives. We lay it all down before you because, Father, you have redeemed us and we are now yours, your children. And so, Father God, it is to your glory and to your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was putting this message together. I was trying to figure out, you know, what little cool thing I could say at the beginning of my message, you know, be able to, because I know Josh was going to get up here and say something, you know, funny and witty. And I thought, you know, I need to say something funny and witty. And guess what? I came up with nothing. I came up with absolutely nothing. So here it is. I'm going to start off with the scriptures right here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And so it is with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or with human wisdom. I can't even pronounce that word right. That's how eloquent I am. Human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I love that verse. I love that verse because as I get up here and I'm fulfilling what God has called me to do, I know that I can rest in Him and it's not in my ability. Because if I was to be able to persuade you by how well I could speak or by being able to say really witty things or if I could even be eloquent, which is amazing, what would I be building? Let's face it. Popularity, people, personalities come and go. The reality is that's not what we want our faith built off of. We want our faith built off something that is solid and has a foundation. So my hope today is not that I would be known as a great speaker, but my hope today is that you would see God's power My hope today is that somewhere deep down inside, the Spirit would speak to you and that you would be able to rest in what it is that God is doing in your life and what God has done in other people's lives. That is the hope. But in the midst of these verses, we get this little sentence that's right here where Paul says, I knew nothing except for Christ crucified. Now, we're here on Easter. This is the resurrection, right? This is like, man, this is awesome because Christ has come out of the grave. And yet, Paul says, all I'm preaching to you is Christ crucified. I think there's something that's very profound about that. Matter of fact, in the same book, in 1 Corinthians, back here in chapter 15, he addresses the resurrection. So back in chapter 15 here in 1 Corinthians, down here in verse 12, he says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he has raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people must be pitied. But Christ has indeed risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To be pitied. You guys remember Mr. T? I pity the fool. Right? That's what I think of when I read that. Nobody wants to be pitied. Even those that are going through hard circumstances don't want to be pitied. Well, take that back. When I get really sick, I want my wife to pity me. That is true. But the reality is most of the times we don't want to be pitied. We want to seem capable. We want to seem like we got it together. But the reality is as Paul presents this thing, is the resurrection is so essential that, boy, if the resurrection didn't happen, then we got it all messed up. We're fools. And we're fools because we're still in our sin. We're fools because we put our hope in something that hasn't happened. We're fools because we're running around going, no, if I sacrifice and I live my life before God and I surrender everything to him, you're still in your sins and there is no salvation if there is no resurrection. So Paul comes along and says, listen, I preach Christ crucified. But in the same book, he also says, the resurrection, that's the turning point. See, the cool thing about it is in the crucifixion, he's paid our price. He's died for our sins. The reality is we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all come to that place where there's somewhere that we have followed our own desires, our own will. We have stepped out beyond what God had intended. We had hurt others. We had destroyed relationships. We have done things that we know are not right. We have these guilts and we have these sins inside of us that we look back and we are shameful of. There are things that we don't even want to talk to our spouses about or our children about because it's not good. We've all fallen short of what God intended. We live in such a world of sin around us, to be honest, we can't even figure out what heaven is. Because we look at heaven and heaven's supposed to be this perfect place and we go, well, I can't quite imagine that. And you can't because all we know is the world around us and it is filled with sin. If you were to take out sin out of our life, if you were to take out sinful ambitions and the desires that we have, the reality is we would have a pure love for one another.
We would have relationships with one another without hidden motives and objectives. We wouldn't have this fear and this tension. We wouldn't have the jealousy. We wouldn't have the hatred. We wouldn't have all this stuff that surrounds us and taints us so much we don't even realize it's happening because it lies in such an undercurrent in our life. And it changes the way that we perceive the world. It makes us fearful. Makes us vengeance, makes us full of anger, makes us feel like we have to stand up for our rights. And the reality is all this sin just kills and destroys. It confuses and muddles. Christ died for that. To take the penalty of us and our wrath. He died for that, the crucifixion. And because he died for that and atoned for our sins, wiped our debt clean, that we can come before God now in faith and stand before him, it is because of the blood of what Jesus has done, his price that he's paid, that I can now enter into the throne room of God and say, I am yours. And that was only proven true because of the resurrection. See, when Christ rose again, what happened is it not only proved who Jesus was and what he said, it also showed that God put his stamp of approval and said, it is done. The price has been paid. And my son is alive. And so he has risen to that place of authority. See, here's the reality. We come today because it's Easter, and the reality is we're here because we love the resurrection. It is great. It is spring. It is awesome. It is new life. It is this glorious thing that we have before us, and we love it, and we flock to it. But there is no resurrection without the crucifixion. There is no resurrection without the crucifixion. But there's another reality in the midst of us. This whole thing that's going on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of this air. The Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's talking about the spirit of the devil. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We used to be dead. We look at Christ and we realize Christ has been crucified and Christ has been raised. And so we have this hope because he has bought our price and yet he has redeemed us and set us free. And we have this grace that is given to us and we hold on to that. But here's the reality. If you haven't accepted Christ, you're dead. Oh, you may be living a life that you think is alive, but to be honest, you're kind of like a zombie. You're not really alive. We have this inner desires and these cravings that we follow after and we chase over. That, in all honesty, all that happens is when we indulge in them, more evil happens. More unrighteousness happens. People get hurt. We hurt ourselves. We are dead creatures and we keep playing with dead things. You guys ever seen roadkill? I mean, roadkill's kind of gross, right? You ever want to stop and get out and poke and play with the roadkill? Then why is it that inside of us we have this tendency to always want to run to dead things? Like it's going to gratify us in some way. The only answer to that is it's our nature. We have these desires and these cravings and we can't stop them. And for some sick reason, we We break relationships and we step into things that are not right, and we indulge in stuff that we know is harmful for us and for other people, and we keep wanting it. And that's why we deserve wrath. Because we're broken. And we're broken in such a way that we keep choosing it. And this is not God's plan. Galatians chapter 5. Just a couple little verses here. Verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Catch that. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. There is the death and resurrection, crucifixion and life in the Spirit. There's the reality that in ourselves, we have to come to a place and go, I don't want that. I don't want to chase after these desires that hurt others. I don't want to be filled with this grief. I don't want the shame in my life anymore. I have to draw the line and I'm going to crucify it. I don't want it. There has to come to a place where we realize in the midst of us, this is not where we want to live. And we have to take action. We have to turn from this to something greater than ourselves. Because if we feel like we can manage this and I can overcome these desires, I can get hooked up with the right groups and sit down and explain to everybody how I have these addictions, or I can go to a psychologist or a shrink and they can help me be able to process, and maybe I can put the blame on other people, and because I'm okay, and the reality is you're not going to stop it. We can't stop it. We're dead. So we got to get to a place of crucifying this flesh. How do we do that? If you look over here in Galatians chapter 5. Oops. Hold on a second. No, chapter 2. There we go. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Whoa, wait a minute. Paul says, I crucify my flesh, my worldly desires. And then he tells us how. I have been crucified with Christ. So it's not me being able to go, okay, I'm going to control this thing, because the reality is you're never going to control it. You might be able to pick up some good habits and start to change your life in little ways, but the sin has always been there. And there's still going to be places where you fall, but the reality is we got to get with Christ and we got to unite ourselves with Him. That we would be crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law or through doing good works or good habits, then Christ died for nothing. Every religion out there teaches if you meditate right, if you do good works, if you just learn how to control yourself, if you could just meditate enough that everything just fades away, you'll be okay. It's all on your ability. Some people have a time because it's like, how can God be loving if He would condemn people to hell? Well, how can any religion out there be loving if it's based on my ability? Because I can't do it. The love comes in this. Is we're all deserving of wrath. We are all already condemned. Jesus stepped into the arena saying, here I am. I do it for you. Here is my love. While you were my enemies, while you were running from me, I am still here calling out your name. So we put our faith in Christ, and I say, that what I do not long for anymore, these things that happen in my life that I chase after but I know are evil, I lay them at the cross, and I realize, God, you are the one I can take away my sins through Jesus Christ. And so I take myself and I give my flesh to Christ. I surrender it. And I say, I am crucified with Christ, even though I live. But the life I live now is through the Holy Spirit. I am empowered by Him to keep in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit gives me new life. What all of a sudden happens is, through the power of the Spirit coming into my life, is He all of a sudden gives me the desire and the control to be able to say no. To be able to say, I can stand up against this, because it's no longer me, but it is the Spirit living in me that I no longer want to chase after this, no longer desire this. I do not want to be there. Amen? That is the power. Persuasive words and wisdom. Now, let's face it, that doesn't change much. Recognizing that there is actually something that exists that would change my nature. So much so that the Bible would say, I am born again. I am new. I am alive. That I no longer have to satisfy the desires. Do we fall into that from now and again and things happen? You bet they do. Because ultimately when we get to heaven, that is totally removed from us. And I believe that God allows us to experience those things so that we continue in grace and not in our ability to go, whoa, look how good I am now. You know? It's the reality that God has saved me. And it is grace. And when we have grace to realize I have been freed from all that garbage, the reality is when we run into other people that are in that garbage, we know it's not us. And that's why we can love them. Because we didn't do it. They just need to get to a place where they experience the love of Jesus in their life and what God has offered them. To be able to come to that place, to be able to surrender this and say, I want to crucify myself and my flesh that I may live in Christ and be born again in the power of the Spirit, to be something new, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us, that my destiny is to become like Christ in His character and His nature, that I am now loved by God and known by God. And nothing can separate me from that. My future is secure, and I hold on to that because Christ holds on to that, and I hold on to what He has done for me. And that is the reality of the grace that is poured out on us. To be able to hold on to those areas of our life and say, it is for Your glory. So here it is. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, we read the first part of this. I want to continue on in verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incredible riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness in us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Worship team, if you guys want to come back up here, I want to ask you guys this question. What are you chasing after? This is the resurrection. This is the time. It is a spiritual moment. This is one of those moments, whether you came because you wanted to be in the presence of God and to worship His name, or you came because mom said you had to show up. Whatever it is, I want to ask you right now, are you there at a place where it's like, I'm craving these things and this is the life I want to live? Or are you coming to a place where it's like, I am so tired of that? I want to experience the love of God in my life. I want to experience healing relationships. I want to experience joy and purpose. You want purpose in life? You want hope in life? It comes in Christ alone. He has prepared good works for you to do in advance. That is the purpose, to find His will and to walk in what He has created you to be. He is the one that will mold you and shape you to bring about His glory. You want hope? There is no hope in our government. There is no hope in our circumstances around us. There is no hope in our health. There is no hope in any of this stuff. All that stuff is a mirage. It is fake. It is fake. The only hope that is certain is the hope that we have in Christ. That there is an eternity after this. In His presence, glorifying Him, living in a pure environment where there is no more sin, there is no more death. Our hope is so immense. You want hope in life? You want community? You can't begin to really experience community and love until you begin to experience it through the bond of what Christ does in our life. When you have love that is pure, when you have grace that is pure, when you reach out to each other, when you're there for each other. See, as a church, to be honest, we don't have it all together. We're still working through some issues. Does the church have flaws? Yes, you bet it has flaws. But will we be presented in heaven pure? You bet. Will it eventually take place where we will stand before our God and our Creator and we will be welcomed home? You bet. Those things are secure. In the meantime, it comes down to us. Are we going to live a crucified, resurrected life? Because we are resurrected people, amen? See, we don't have to live in this anymore. We are being called to be salt and light of this world. Salt and light of this world, to make a difference. And the reality is if we don't indulge in this stuff and we surrender our life to Christ and we walk in what He has for us, we will be salt and light in this world. We will be what Jesus called us to be. Because that is so totally different than everything else. So I call you today. I call you to ask in your heart, have I surrendered my life? If you don't know, then just do it. What are you waiting for? If you know and you're certain, it's like, man, I love Jesus, and then I ask you this. Are you living as resurrected people? I have this life motto, things that I want to change in my life as I grow older, that when I die, people would say, oh, this is what Mark was. One of those life mottos that I have in my life is that I would learn to complain less today than I did yesterday. Works really good until I really mess up one day, then I kind of get a fresh start. But anyways, the reality of it is this, is I know that I am resurrected. I am born again. My life is now hidden in Christ. And it is His Spirit that reigns in my life. And I want more of that. I want more of that. I want to be full of joy and hope and peace on a constant basis. I want more of that. And I am dedicating my life to be a resurrected believer, to live in that arena, to know that I have been crucified, but I live now in Christ Jesus. Father God, we just come before You right now. You are an awesome, mighty, mighty God. And Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to stand here and proclaim Your name. Lord, it is unbelievable. Father, that You would redeem me, that You would find me in Your Son worthy, is absolutely incredible. And so, Father God, I ask that those that are here today, that they would hear Your Spirit, that they would rest in the power of Your Spirit, that they would not rest on a speaker or what church they go to, or that it would be none of that, but Father, that they would rest in their understanding of who You are and what You've done in their life through Jesus Christ. That, Father, that all of us would keep step with the Spirit. That we would live new and fresh in you. And we praise you, Father. We praise you for the resurrection, not only of Christ, but of us. That we are new people, born again, set free in your presence. In Jesus' name.
Feel free to stand for this last song.